Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beyond Awakening, the Future of Spiritual Practice. My name is Paul Taylor, and I am the president of Evolving Wisdom, one of the organizations producing this event. So today we will continue in this remarkable public conversation, and we are going to do another session with Terry live, and he's international in Frankfurt, Germany today. And so for those of you who are just joining us, our community is now over 30,000 people gathered for this groundbreaking series, and I'd like to take this time to introduce you to the Integral Spiritual Practice founder, Terry Patton. Terry is a vital leading voice in the fields of integral evolutionary practice, leadership, and spirituality. He is a gifted communicator, community builder, a successful entrepreneur, educator, and he's an author of four books. Terry has worked for over three decades as a philosopher, activist, coach, and teacher, helping leaders embody higher consciousness in practical actions that transform complex systems. He is the author with Ken Wilber of Integral Life Practice, and he also, what's interesting enough, you know, part of the reason Terry is in Germany is that Integral Life Practice, as we mentioned last week, but we're very excited about it. It's a wonderful, important book, and it's now available in German translation. And so we're excited to add that to all the many other languages that this book has been published into. Terry's personal website is integralspiritualpractice.com, and it is now my great honor to introduce my dear friend, Terry Patton. Welcome, Terry.
Thanks so much, Paul. And hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. You know, this conversation is seriously intended to serve the evolution of consciousness and culture for us individually and together, and to deepen the dialogue about how our practice and our spirituality can actually grow and shift as the times are requiring, so that we can rise to meet the crisis that we see in the planet and create a cultural context for a transition to a coherent and sustainable human presence on this beautiful planet that we share. Today, adding to the dialogues we've had with Ken Wilber, Michael Murphy, Andrew Cohen, Claire Zammit, Gangaji, Rick Hansen, Catherine Woodward Thomas, and Thomas Hubel, I have the pleasure to be talking with Howard Martin and Debbie Rosman. They're dear friends from some years ago when I worked with them fairly closely at the Institute of Heart Math. Not everyone in the world of spirituality is aware of Heart Math, but for about 20 years, the Institute of Heart Math has been conducting groundbreaking scientific research and consulting at some of the highest levels of large organizations and governments and small businesses all around the world. And they don't really frame what they do as being spiritual. The focus is really on the heart and knowing that the heart is a center of intelligence in the human system and often the highest center of our best wisdom and our highest intuitive knowing and the source of really the wisdom that we need to make the best decisions and the peace and the clarity out of which we can respond well to whatever's arising. And HeartMath has not just done a lot of groundbreaking biomedical and scientific research, but they've also really kind of streamlined and clarified simple tools so that we can access this heart intelligence in a moment, in the midst of the flow and the craziness of life, as a trustable source of insight and peace and joy and inspiration. So the work of HeartMath has been really a resource for me. It's something that I use in my work with clients and students. And each of them is a leader in their own right. Debbie Rosman, PhD, Dr. Rosman, has 30 years of experience as a business executive and entrepreneur and psychologist and author and educator. She's the president of the for-profit organization, HeartMath, Inc., and she authored a book quite a few years ago that was a huge bestseller, Meditating with Children, and that's how I first encountered her before I ever met her. And she's the co-author with Doc Childrey of a whole series of books from HeartMath, Transforming Stress, Transforming Anxiety, Transforming Anger, and Transforming Depression. Howard has worked closely with Doc Childrey since the beginning of HeartMath on developing and teaching the HeartMath programs, and he's spoken all around the world on the HeartMath approach, and does so in just a disarmingly human and winning and just spontaneous way. He's the co-author with Doc of the best-selling HeartMath book, The HeartMath Solution, and he also developed the Nightingale Conant tape series, The HeartMath Method. And he's often featured on national and local television and other media. So they're wonderful spokespeople for the wisdom of the heart and how we can bring that into this critical conversation that we've been having. So welcome, Howard, and welcome, Debbie.
Good evening, Terry, and glad to be on your show today. I hope you're doing well over there in Frankfurt, and I want to really welcome all the people that are listening to this dialogue today. I'm so glad you're here, and this is one of my most favorite things to do is to have an opportunity to share my passion and the work that we do here at HeartMath.
And I, too, am very honored to be with you today, Terry, and with all the people who are tuning in, listening to this now or have downloaded it in the future listening. It's such an exciting time for all of us who are committed to facilitating people through this shift that the planet and humanity is going through to come together and bring our collective experience and wisdom and tools to help more people and help each other. So I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Well, great. You know, Howard, when I first got to know you, the HeartMath work was really focused around a simple in-the-moment tool called Freeze Frame, and it was out of the work with Freeze Frame that all kinds of other good work has kind of emerged. And I wonder if you might kind of offer an introduction to the application of this, you know, understanding what heart intelligence is and how we tune into it in a way that helps folks get a sense of exactly what it is that you've devoted your life to serving.
I'd be glad to, but before I do, just let me say, you know, you and I go back a ways now. This was fun, you know, to be here together in these times, you know, during this time of extraordinary change we have in the world. But, you know, you've done well for yourself, and this series, I'm sure, is being listened to by a lot of people. So congratulations to you also, Terry, on the wonderful work that you did.
Thanks, Howard. Well, you know, one of the things I'm proudest of is the work I did with you guys. You know, I was privileged to be there at the right time and to make the introductions and be the project manager for the development of the first heart rate variability monitor that you all put out, the Freeze Framer. And so much has come of that. I always look at your incredible influence in the culture with a sense of personal pride.
Well, you did a good job with that, and your contributions are still valuable to us and to this very day. But let me say this. You know, HeartMath, you've talked about it as an organization. But what it really is, it's a system consisting of techniques, methods, and the technology that you mentioned, all designed, you know, to help people empower themselves, you know, through these changing times that we live in. And at the core of that is an understanding that we have here at HeartMath that all of us have experienced many, many times and that we've actually researched, and that is that we have this amazing intelligence inside of us. It's intuitive. It's high speed. It's that part of us where our authentic self really does come from. It's that place inside where we go to when we need self-security, when we need to find answers to things. It's really our own best friend and our own most reliable guide, really, to making the decisions we need to make in life, you know, whether they be big or small. It's a source of the most revered emotions that we have, you know, things like love, care, compassion, appreciation, those kind of feelings, the feelings that make life, you know, really worth living. And all of that combined at an energetic level is what we call heart intelligence. And we've done a lot of work here at HeartMath over the years, you know, looking at heart, right from the physical level, right on up through the spiritual level, and understanding, you know, its implications in how we function as human beings and how society functions and how we use the intelligence of the heart to guide ourselves through this shift and to create a much different and much better world as we go through these transitional times.
And that system is really about a shift from what? To what? What is it that we shift out of? What is it we shift to?
Well, Debbie, would you like to answer that one?
Sure, sure. Well, the system is designed to help us shift out of stress, limited thinking, limited perspectives, head-based focus that's cut off from the connection with our heart and spirit into heart alignment, which is heart, brain, nervous system, glands, organs, body, mind, emotions, and spirit in alignment, or in a state that we have researched called physiological coherence, but being able to make that shift in ourselves so that we are more connected with our spirit or our higher self. We don't use that term that much, spiritual, because heart and that system is designed to reach mainstream masses and not have to have terminology that might create misinterpretations, but to really understand there is a systematic method, a math, if you will, to unfolding this alignment and connection, which we call the intelligence of the heart, that actually brings the system, shifts our system from head to heart intuitive connection. And that's very exciting to me. All of us who were involved with Doc Childrey, the founder of HeartMath, came from various really deep spiritual backgrounds, and we wanted to join him in his invitation to us to help put a science-based system together of understanding the nature of the heart for people, and with simple user-friendly tools that anybody could use regardless of beliefs, systems, religions, previous practices, any aspect of life, the taxi cab driver, that really could connect us with that deep place in the heart that could bring our systems into attunement and alignment. So that is the shift. You know, there's an Indian expression that the longest journey that a man or a woman will ever take is the journey from head to heart. And that's really, to me, encapsulates part of what's going on in the planet and the shift of realigning things so that spirit-heart connection is lining up ourselves individually and collectively for the greater whole.
And so the folks who might not be familiar, I mean, everybody has some feeling for the difference between the head and the heart, of course. But you're really making the claim that it's, in many ways, the key to a higher level of intelligence, a higher level of decision-making, a higher level of cooperation, and really cutting through the challenges that sometimes just tie us up in knots and seem impossible to solve. And, you know, why is that? How can something that seems so simple, you know, we tend to associate the heart with warm feelings, with a sense of connectedness and you know, kind of a positive emotions. And even though positive emotions are obviously a good thing, you know, how are they enough to make this, you know, we've got big stuff we're dealing with here. You know, we got global warming, we got terrorism, we got all kinds of stuff on every side, we got lives that are kind of crazy, and just having a good feeling in our heart, how's that going to make the big differences that we obviously need? And, you know, I think if you unpack that more, we'll get more of a sense. I'm curious to hear that.
Well, I think both Howard and I probably could talk about that from different angles. Two levels of it. One's the scientific research, and again, science sort of is a head-based activity. It directs a lot of our understandings in the world. But even in science, it's showing that the heart itself creates a rhythmic pattern that really communicates to the brain and the rest of the body, and has an independent nervous system within itself, independent of the brain. And that nervous system has neurons that sense, feel, and remember. So the sayings of the metaphoric heart, go deep into your heart to find the answer, and we all go to the heart in times of trouble to try to connect with a deeper part of ourselves that really does have scientific validity, because when we do that and we connect with a connectedness to spirit, to life, to others, the positive emotions activate a different rhythmic pattern that signals the brain, the thalamus, the frontal lobes, the amygdala, and actually activate, facilitate higher cortical thinking, executive decision making. So these problems in the world that we're facing need that activation of the higher brain potentials to be able to even perceive holistically and perceive new solutions. The heart is the key input for that. And that's what the scientific research at HeartMath and other places have been discovering over the last 15, 20 years. And that's very exciting, because it only takes simple tools for us to manage our emotional system enough to connect with the heart so that we can activate that heart-brain communication system. It's not throwing away the mind and head. It's aligning them with the heart so that we have that higher consciousness and that intuitive flow. And so that's one angle of looking at why the heart is so key to the shift. It's not just the sweet feelings of that we come to associate often with heart, but it's really the power and intelligence that love activates in the heart to awaken the higher brain centers to enable us to solve these problems. Howard, you probably have another.
Go ahead, a couple of different angles. You know, it's like we do have these mounting problems. It's unbelievable the challenges that we do face as a global society today. And we're going to have to come into new ways of looking at things and new types of approaches and new intelligence, actually, in order to really have a chance of solving these things. I don't think the normal logical linear processes we've been using are working. Now, heart intelligence is not in competition with brain or any of that sort of stuff. That's not what it's about. We're an integrated system. You know, we have lots of different forms of intelligences in the body. You know, it's not just all in the brain, but we have distributed intelligence, as talked about by others. What we're saying is that a primary input into this whole intelligence package is driven by the heart, both at the physiological level and at the energetic level. And at the physiological level, as you know, Terry, and I want to share this with our listeners too today and tonight, is that we really have done seminal research mapping out communication pathways by which the heart does more than pump blood. It sends powerful healing commands to the brain and to the rest of the body. And the brain function is critically dependent upon these signals coming from the heart. And our researchers have identified a state called coherence, a highly ordered, highly efficient state where less energy is wasted, where the body systems are synchronized. When that occurs, you know, higher brain centers activate. We are able to see into things. We have new perceptions, new insights, new creativity, intuitive contact. All these things occur, and a lot of it's driven by, you know, changes that are occurring in the heart that affect the brain and the rest of the body. So it really is about, you know, integrating all these intelligences together, using our common sense, our logic, our linear intelligence for a lot of things. Also bringing in new insights and new angles, you know, that we step back from and begin to see differently. And I think that's the hope of it. I also would like to say that, you know, the generic term being used called the shift means a lot of things. It represents a paradigm shift in the way the world functions, the very psychological, you know, underpinnings of how people perceive, how we believe, how we interrelate. All those things are really in a morphing state right now. And I think at the core of that, one of the aspects of it is the emergence of new intelligence, a new bandwidth, so to speak, of an intelligence capacity that will give us the ability to meet these challenges. What we're seeing at HeartMath is the heart plays a big role in that. It's not exclusive of their beliefs or the brain or any of that stuff, but what we're saying is that what's been talked about for thousands of years through the ancient times all the way to modern times is real. And we've used science to map that out and to give it validity. And we have simple tools and techniques and technology that we use to try to help people find that place within themselves and then have a better life.
I'd like to add to that. You know, Terry, when you worked with us on the freeze framer, which is now called the M-Wave technology, you know, we often had conversations about how giving people a simple tool to see what's happening or technology in their heart rhythm pattern and get into that state of heart coherence, because we know from the research and from people using the technology now how it creates that alignment. So it enables people to connect with their authentic self and empower. Now, you don't need the technology, but anything that can help people connect more with their deeper heart, their authentic self, and empower through these times, because all of us, I don't care how much meditation we've done we are affected by the planetary shift energies, the stress waves going out. We have our own challenges that come up, whether it's with computers failing or relationship issues. And stress is what blocks us from our higher intelligence. It blocks us. That incoherence that stress generates blocks us from being able to see solutions, let alone manage our relationships and our workflows and the day-to-day life. And people sense this. They sense that there is something deeper and feeling more of an intuitive nudge to add more heart warmth and deeper connection within themselves and others. So the heart is really awakening on the planet because it is the natural place for us to connect with, and it is the natural place for us to gain more intelligence, wisdom, intuition, insight on what we can do to solve our personal and social problems.
You know, I appreciate those answers. You guys, I kind of asked that question as if I was a skeptic about the heart. Of course, I'm not, but there is kind of a discrimination that we have to make here, isn't there, between just the sense of a good feeling, where it might seem that that what we're putting forward in this conversation is like, you know, be in a harmonious state of mind and have good emotions instead of bad emotions. That it might seem Pollyanna-ish, and I think that there's something much, much deeper that has to do with a kind of seriousness of commitment to really living life for real and bringing online our highest capacities, which really are not mobilized when we're afraid and when we're just focused and trying to figure things out and respond to the urgent to-dos and everything. That there is a totality of our being that really is centered at the heart, and that we feel from the heart, out of which we can access, often there are elegantly simple ways that we can respond to situations or ways that we can avoid taking the bait that only come from really being centered in a deeper place. And it's the fact that sometimes when I would ask my heart, as I learned your freeze frame technique whenever that was, 15 years ago or something, I would sometimes get answers that surprised me. I wouldn't just get a good feeling from it. I would actually get insight and wisdom. And I'd be interested to hear you elaborate on just how the heart is smarter in ways that might not be so obvious intuitively.
Howard, you want to answer that one?
Well, I think sometimes we just run at high speed, Terry. You know, we get parts of answers. I think one of the main things that we lose touch with that has a lot to do with informing us about things is in touch with what we're really feeling emotionally. You know, a lot of emotion runs right under the surface. I'm not talking about subconscious emotion. I'm talking about something that I call subtly conscious emotion. It's there, but we're just not paying attention. And yet those emotions, whatever we're feeling, are coloring perceptions all the time, you know, regardless. Whether we're, you know, tuning into them or not. But when we use, you know, we focus in the heart, we practice techniques like freeze frame, you know, the quick coherence technique, you know, the ease technique, which we've just released, things like that. What it does is it allows us to then, you know, to slow down the frames of life for just a little bit. And we're able to see into things. And one of the things we see into is what are we really feeling right now that's underpinning the perceptions that we're having. And that's a great gift. I found that so useful in my own life to really be able to tag those emotions more. And then to have the ability to make a shift, if it's something that I don't really feel comfortable about, to have the ability to shift that emotion, to turn it into something that's going to regenerate me rather than drain me. These are simple concepts, simple principles, but when you add them up over time, what it does is it creates a new level of resilience and regeneration in the system that then allows for an ongoingness of new perception and an ongoingness of different, you know, views into things. But in my workday, like anybody else, things are moving fast, lots of input, tons of emails, meetings, you know, news I don't want to hear, jobs I'm asked to do that I'm not necessarily jumping up and down about. All those things sort of cloud the picture. And the HeartMath tools give me and give the others of, you know, the tens of thousands of people around the world that have been trained by us the ability to slow down those frames a little bit and to see into things and to regather and renew ourselves in a way that gives us the ability to make, you know, better choices and better decisions. It's really a simple process, but to your point, you do have to practice. It's not an overnight thing. It's quick in many ways and requires diligence in others. So it's a system that works, but you have to work it yourself.
And I would add to that that it's the choices we make moment to moment throughout the day that determine whether we're draining energy and therefore staying in the, could call it the lower mind, the linear minds, the stress reactions, the narrowed perspectives, or whether we can be centered enough to make choices throughout the day that keep us in alignment with that deeper intuitive place that gives you those kinds of different answers like you were describing, Terry, when you used the freeze frame technique. These are one-minute techniques that have been crunched from complex research and practice into simple tools that people can use throughout the day. That's the whole point, is we have to take our meditations into practical applications during the day to help regulate the balance and cooperation between our heart and mind and emotions, to have more of that coherence as we move through and make these choices moment to moment, because they determine the quality of our life, the quality of our decisions, the quality of our relationships. And that's really where the rubber meets the road to me. You know, if I am reacting out of a stressful perception, it's going to create a cascade of reactions and events and perceptions that usually have more feedback in my system that are as uncomfortable, and then I have to reset my system anyway. And that resetting really comes from what all the ancient teachings have always said and all the religions have said: replace judgment with non-judgment and compassion. Replace down-slant-sided dreads and negative projections by finding something to appreciate in the moment. And those aren't just sweet things to do, to have love and compassion and appreciation. They are powerful energetic activators of coherence, of getting our system back in line so that mind-brain can have more of those surprising intuitive insights from another dimension of intelligence, which is what the shift to me is about. We're bringing in another dimension of intelligence, and the qualifiers to enter that dimension are really stopping the energy drains that, and activating deeper love, deeper care, deeper, more genuine gratitude and appreciation, and really transforming or shifting those judgments at least to a neutral state till we can see a new perspective. That's where it counts. That's the practical spirituality that HeartMath's really bringing in, or along with others. You know, we're not the only ones saying this, but simple tools for people to do that throughout the day and reset their system, prep for the next event that could be stressful. That's kind of the spiritual warrior, if you want to call it that, that we all are wanting and needing to become, to find those flow states.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I know that in the moments when I was realizing that my computer crash was more serious than than any I've had in a couple of years, you know, that I really maybe had a real interference in my functionality, I noticed myself having to drop back into to that intuitive knowing that really was my heart, kind of just dropping in and breathing and feeling and taking it back in. Okay, well, this is the way life is showing up in this moment, and it's got some challenges in it, but it must be the way things need to proceed, and kind of just arriving with acceptance in the moment and appreciation for there were all kinds of positive aspects. I was with people who were wonderfully helpful, and I had an iPad, and I could use that to get at my email. I mean, there was a ton of good stuff going on, even though it was difficult. And I just found myself seeing creatively the possibilities for how I'd work around this problem, and how I'd find the time to do it, and how I'd be able to do that in a way that wasn't going to be overly stressful. And so there's a way that this sort of simple, it almost seems like at times it seems very scientific when you describe the detailed research into heart rate variability and physiological coherence and DNA windings and all kinds of sophisticated stuff. But at other times, the HeartMath system seems almost common sense, almost like folk wisdom. And yet there's underneath the surface, I think, maybe a deeper or more profound dimension to it. And in my way of experiencing it, it's not just a way to help me steer around the rocks and rapids, you know, in the flow of life. It's also sometimes a way for me in a moment of quiet to just tap into my deepest inner guidance and to know what my values are and know what I really care about and know how to bring that care into situations where it's not always that obvious.
That's exactly how it works. I mean, you know, you can say the folk wisdom and sometimes when we use those words, and I know this isn't what you mean or what I would mean, but people can feel like, yeah, and write it off because it is talked about forever, and yet to really practice some of that wisdom is what bails us out and connects us with our deeper self. Here's an example, like the word ease. You know, how I just mentioned that Doc Childer released a new heart math tool for these times called the Inner Ease Technique. Now, we tell children to go to ease. We try to get people, even adults, to a state of ease when they're, you know, freaking out or reacting. Why? Because we just instinctively do that. We intuitively know that that ease state is going to help people sort solutions. So we'll be able to help them sort solutions. But how often do we as adults, when the computer crashes and we get frustrated, really go into a state of ease? And that's what you did. When you described what you did when your computer crashed, you found that place inside and you went, instead of, you had to take the frustration and the irritation and the impatience, which I'm sure came up initially. We all get triggered and that's natural, normal. It's what we do next. And taking it to that ease state and breathing from there, getting that coherence in the heart and the system, whether you're conscious that you're doing that or not, is what helps us open up to the new possibilities, like you did with the friends and the connections and finding the silver lining in the cloud, the appreciation that comes in. That's what creates the doorway for new intuitive solutions and nonlinear possibilities. So, yes, it's the doorway to another dimension. And if it wasn't, is simple. If it wasn't the wisdom we all really know in our hearts, like go to ease, practice non-judgment, do the common sense stuff because it's not going to drain our energy and what's going to add to the situation. If it wasn't simple, even though we need tools to get to that simplicity, there wouldn't be any hope for the world because there's 6 billion of us. We all have hearts. We all can do this. We all instinctively know it. It's connecting us with what we really know already inside, and then having tools to power up our applications and ability to pull it off right in the moments of challenge.
That's great. Thank you, Debbie.
Sure, we're going to talk a little bit back. Excuse me. I'm sorry. We're going to
go ahead.
Global Coherence Initiative today, the thing that I'm so excited
about. I was going to ask you about that a little later, but go right ahead. I definitely want to.
No, go ahead. I just wanted to make sure we could cover that with our listeners because I think they're going to enjoy understanding what we're doing there and something they can all participate in, too, so that they can go away with something actionable from the call today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd like to bridge to that by beginning, if you'd be willing to actually teach, really any of the heart math techniques in a simple way so that people would understand what this looks like, you know, maybe my description of what I did when the computer crashed is a, you know, somewhat of an illustration, but maybe even taking us through a few moments of checking in with the heart, you know, right here, right now.
Well, Debbie, I think, you know, one of the tools now, the newest one we've released, that we've got, you know, stuff available on our websites for free for people to learn it, is called the Ease Technique, you know, and I think Debbie could do a great job of leading us through that. I'd love for her to do it.
I'd be happy to. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready, willing, and able, but Debbie, go for it.
Me too.
I actually have it in front of me, so I'm going to read you the steps, okay, and we'll take you through it, and we'll all go through it together, all of us. So step one is, if you're stressed, acknowledge your feelings as soon as you sense that you are out of sync or engaged in common stressors, feelings such as frustration, impatience, anxiety, overload, anger, being judgmental, mentally gridlocked, you know the list. The first step is really acknowledging whatever you're feeling, even if you're not feeling those feelings right now, get in touch with your feelings and just acknowledge, accept them. Now, step two. Take a short time out and do heart-focused breathing. Breathe a little slower than usual. Pretend you're breathing through your heart or chest area. Let's do this for about 10, 20 seconds. Heart-focused breathing, when you breathe a little slower than usual and breathing in and out through your heart or chest area, is actually proven to help create coherent wave patterns in your heart rhythm, which helps restore balance and calm in your mental and emotional nature while activating the affirming power of your heart. Now, during the heart-focused breathing, imagine with each breath that you are drawing in a feeling of inner ease and infusing your mental and emotional nature with balance and self-care from your heart. Imagine with each breath that you are drawing in a feeling of inner ease and infusing your mental and emotional nature with balance and self-care from your heart. And practicing this will increase your awareness of when a stressful emotion is calmed into a state of ease. The mind and emotions operate on a vibrational level, and slowing down the stressful vibration helps reestablish the cooperation and balance between heart, mind, and emotions. Like one of those old electric fans that rattle until you turn it to a slower speed, which often quiets and restores the unbalanced vibration. And then infusing your mental and emotional nature with self-care from your heart, it's scientifically proven that radiating love and self-care through your system activates beneficial hormones and boosts your immunity. So when the stressful feelings have calmed, affirm with a heartfelt commitment that you want to anchor and maintain the state of ease as you re-engage in your projects, challenges, or daily interactions. So it's a real simple technique that's basically acknowledge what you feel, do heart-focused breathing, imagine with each breath you're drawing in a feeling of inner ease and infusing your mental and emotional nature with balance and self-care from your heart. You're slowing down the vibrations of the feelings, and when the stressful feelings have calmed, affirm with a heartfelt commitment that you want to anchor and maintain a state of ease.
Yay, I'm Yay. For it.
Well, one thing Doc Childre's talking about to us a lot right now, he's really been on to this ease mode because with all this planetary energy shifting, and this preps us for the Global Coherence Initiative discussion, we feel these stress waves more sensitive and heartfelt and open become the more sensitive we are to the energies. And the energetic heart, not just the physical heart, really helps us as we can create this balance and cooperation between the heart, mind, and emotions so that we quieten the dramas and the significance that's happening and all the craziness within our own emotions so we can reason and discern with objectivity. And it reduces stress and inspires our creative and practical solutions for handling or adjusting the situations. And it's so important for us these days to keep remembering, go back to ease. Go back to ease, because you're going back to the heart.
Yes. Thanks so much, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoy the new subtle refinements of the math that Doc and the rest of you come up with. That's in a way totally familiar, but it's also in some respects kind of a new and fresh expression of the the timeless principle. And I hope the folks who are listening, kind of went through that experientially as you took us through it. I know I did, and it shifts the whole energy of the conversation and maybe gives people a feeling for the importance of this, that even in the midst of the passionate and tremendously insightful, evolutionary and integral and spiripual and very profound kinds of perspectives that we're bringing, even as we're seriously trying to show up as responsible planetary citizens, this simple reorienting of our system and realigning of ourselves with this broader principle of coherence and in a way finding our home, it's the North Star, it's the metronome that powers us, it's really kind of the source of sanity. I think your work at HeartMath is so important because unlike some of the really sophisticated theoretical things that we went through here, this is something that even a child can learn and use and understand and validate, and that really helps it cut through a lot of obstacles.
And as you know, HeartMath does a lot of work with children in schools and teachers, pre-K and up. I mean, that's been our whole mission, and what I'm so passionate about is taking this simple, scientifically proven, but simple, easy-to-use tools to the next generation. Like I wrote the book Meditating with Children. This is like a whole other turn on the spiral of empowering children because they're learning to self-regulate their emotional responses, and that is the key to connecting with your blueprint, your deeper self, what you're here for, your mission. And so many children are here to wake up, as we all are, but to facilitate and be part of this shift and making it easier on everybody. That's my passion. But it doesn't have to be as stressful as it is if we aren't connecting with the heart and realigning and connecting with our heart coherence. So I have a deep care and compassion about those shifts. I mean, again, we call it a practical spirituality, but it doesn't need to be called spiritual or use those terms, but the heart is where we are all connected, and when all is said and done, what's left are the hearts.
Yes. Thank you. Well, that really provides a foundation then, I think, for talking about the Planetary Coherence Initiative that I know you're so passionate about, Howard. I'd like to throw the door open. I know I kind of blocked you there when you tried to make that move before. I'm glad I did because I feel like we've all harmonized and tuned in, and maybe we have a really good place to have this conversation about that from.
Well, no, it wasn't a block at all. I just wanted to be able to share that with our listeners today, so that they have an opportunity to take what we've been talking about and then put it into some practice that they can use to help not only themselves but the world. So going back to this concept of coherence, which is this highly ordered state that really does give us access to the intelligence of the heart. We've researched it. We understand it. We've published research, lots of peer-reviewed journals, information on coherence, and a lot of things we've done around the scientific side. And we've trained people, individuals, all over the world, tens of thousands of people through our training programs, through our books, through all the other resources we have how to increase coherence. So we know how to do that really well. And then, of course, the organizational work that we do in the large healthcare systems and the hospitals and the Fortune 100 companies and in the school systems and all the places where we train, we understand how to create more organizational coherence. So 20 years in, we stepped back and we said, look, we've all known forever that what really happens is that changes in consciousness occur usually first, and then that filters down into how we function as individuals and how we function collectively. So let's take another approach to this in addition to all the other things we do, and let's focus it from the top down. How do we begin to shift consciousness? in a mass level. And so we created about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, the Global Coherence Initiative. This is a division of the Institute of Heart Math. And what it is, it's a community that's being built. It focuses around the Global Coherence Initiative website. We have about 27,000 members now that are dedicated people who have chosen to be a part of this initiative. And what it's designed to do is to unite, you know, many, many thousands of people all around the world in heart-focused care and intention, and to use that heart-focused care and intention to help create shifts in the consciousness field specific to various issues that we do face as a global society today. So that's the main reason for having this. And so it's working really well. We have great, you know, great things for the members. Membership, by the way, is free. You just go to the Global Coherence Initiative website. You become a member for free. Donations, of course, are always appreciated, but no one will ever be excluded from that. It's designed for people to use their own techniques, their own processes, the, you know, whatever belief systems that they bring to the table are all fine. It's very neutral in that regard. And then to join the community and use the power of your heart to really help create some positive change. Now, we're heart math, and so heart math has always got a scientific component. And I think the scientific component of the Global Coherence Initiative is one of the differentiators. We support all the great initiatives that are going on, and we believe that those things are really helping, and we applaud everyone who's participating in those things and all the wonderful organizations that are organizing them. So we're just doing our part, and part of that part is the science. So our scientists, along with other scientists, have created technology that measures subtle changes in the Earth's geomagnetic and ionospheric fields. These are the protective fields, the energetic fields of the Earth. So we're really measuring Earth energetics. So we created sensor sites that measure these changes. And we are going through a stepping stone process using rigorous scientific principles along the way to see if we can validate a hypothesis. And the hypothesis is this, is that mass human emotion, whether positive or negative, has a measurable impact in relationship to the Earth's fields, to these geomagnetic and ionospheric fields. And to do experiments along the way to build this hypothesis into a proven theory. Now, we don't know if it's true, but we believe that it is. And so we have got a working sensor site here in Northern California where we're located, inputting data back to our research labs. We're observing changes in the fields. We're studying these fields. We're learning about these fields. We're learning about other things that influence them and the relationship between humans and these fields. Now, exciting news that we just released this week is that, you know, a couple of weeks ago we put our second sensor site in. It was put in Saudi Arabia. It was funded by a Saudi prince. And it's out in the desert, out in, you know, in Saudi Arabia. And it is also inputting information back to our research labs. The goal is that we'll eventually have 12 of these sensor sites placed around the planet strategically so that we have created the first land-based system ever looking at these fields. And we can do amazing scientific research on not only the effects of consciousness on these fields and the effect of the fields on us, but provide some very valuable information to the scientific literature about these fields. So what we're doing is amazing in many ways. It's something that normally a government or a university would do, but we're doing it as an organization, a relatively small organization of 100 people or so, you know, in Northern California. Now, what makes all this work is the increased coherence of the individuals who become members. And so we do provide tools, techniques, and things that people can use. And there are webinars, there are videos, there are printed techniques, lots of things that you could get access to when you become a member. And so it's really a chance for us to come together in a meaningful way to use the power and intelligence of our hearts to really try to facilitate people through these changing times, to make it as an easy process as we can, knowing that it is difficult and could be increasingly difficult. And then to bring our science to bear on it, to begin to prove something that Jack Canfield, our friend and one of the advisors on this, has said is perhaps the greatest experiment in the history of mankind. If we can prove this, we'll prove that all those prayers, all those meditations, all those things that we've done for so long are real. We believe it anyway. We don't need science to necessarily provide that belief. However, adding science to it will provide a new level of understanding and a new level of belief that adds potency to the things that we do. And that's the nature of this whole thing. So if people who are listening to today want to join, again, it's free. You simply go to the glcoherence.org website. That's Coherence, Coherence.org website. Click on join, put in an email address and a password, and you're in. You become a member of this amazing experiment and an opportunity to use your heart in a way that can help facilitate change for everyone.
Now, you know, it might be good to offer a little bit of background. One of the things that when I first got to know HeartMath, there was particularly a lab with several full-time people. The director was always Dr. Roland McCrady. And there were a variety of different research projects that were being undertaken. Some of them were they just demonstrated the effectiveness of the HeartMath intervention techniques, but some of them were kind of hard science. And one of the things that HeartMath has done is really pioneering the study of a heart rate variability and these patterns of coherence. And if you're not aware of the HeartMath literature, it's worth knowing that this is a formidable body of research. I don't know how many dozen peer-reviewed articles have appeared and you know, collaborations with major universities, and some of them in some of the pretty, you know, top-level scientific journals. It's a formidable body of research, and so this global coherence initiative is extending it in a different way, because this data about the whole state of the planet begins to extend the HeartMath work in exactly the domain that this teleseries is focused on talking about. Because I think what we're essentially asking in this series, Howard and Debbie, is, hey, our spirituality was supposed to give us a higher consciousness so that we could solve problems at a new level, but we've been, you know, it's been 30 years or more of a lot of folks waking up spiritually and doing the practices that they can, and in some ways it seems like the world's getting into deeper and deeper difficulties. And how can our spirituality evolve to really address our problems so that it's not just an escape or a way to make us feel better, but really helps us be the grown-ups around here that can help us turn what's obviously a critical corner. And when I hear about the Global Coherence Initiative, what I'm hearing is that this is an invitation for anybody who understands that our inner state has an effect on the larger field, and that all the different approaches, whether it's a HeartMath technique or whether it's a meditative process or whether it's a prayer process, that bring about that kind of as within, so without, you know, the way that we create, we're a co-creative process, and we're shifting something bigger than ourselves by the way we orient our own consciousness, that you're really trying to provide an umbrella holder for all that. That's an invitation and acknowledgement that all these different approaches are really trying to do the same thing, that we're all in this together, and you're kind of acknowledging and welcoming that and trying to offer a way that we can actually measure it and maybe conduct some experiments where we can demonstrate this in a way that has some objectivity and clout.
It's really true. Yeah, you know, as you were talking, Terry, I was thinking of how the mission in the Global Coherence Initiative really is a co-creative mission to have groups and individuals, whatever their backgrounds, come together to help shift global consciousness to more unity, from discord to unity and harmony. And the hope of the ionosphere, which has resonances on the same frequency as human heart rhythms and brain waves, that if we can tune to that, they affect us, and that's a lot of the research shows how planetary changes and solar flares can disrupt that. But as we collectively put out coherent heart, think of the ionosphere as like a giant M-wave or freeze frame or feedback, that it starts to actually create a feedback that's positive and can help facilitate and amplify our positive heart intentions, our coherence, to really help accelerate the consciousness shift in a nonlinear way and can really help move us to what we all are wondering about, like how do the millions of us who are spiritually connected really help with what's going on in the planet? Well, what if we get the whole Earth fields to facilitate that? What if that's part of the design? What if that's part of the next step of human evolution? And that's very exciting. That's a hypothesis worth exploring, and that's really another aspect of the Global Coherence Initiative, that as we increase our personal individual heart coherence and our social coherence in our families, our workplaces, our social systems, which HeartMath has been providing tools for and others have too, and then as we actually collectively put out and co-create this field of heart coherence and the planetary energetic field, amplify that, that becomes an accelerated feedback, an iterative feedback loop that a critical mass of people really can participate in and facilitate the whole field shift on the planet.
That's really inspiring. Just last week from Berlin, I had a conversation with a really wonderful spiritual teacher here in the German-speaking countries named Thomas Hügel. And Thomas was talking about the practice of really feeling into the field and holding the awareness of what's arising locally in a way that is also contextualized by a feeling sense of larger field. And as we were having the conversation, I was kind of imagining that the larger field that contained me and Thomas, just like there's a field that contains those of, you know, the three of us as we talk together. But you're really talking about kind of the ultimate level of it, of just holding that whole planetary field, and that's such a beautiful and utopian idea, and I know that there are voices in most people that are skeptical or have a hard time believing this hypothesis, but you guys are coming at this not just with an idealism. I mean, you kind of got a real hunch that you're onto something, and that even a minority of us can shift that field. That even if it's only, you know, a small percentage of the total people on the planet, that our intention can actually affect the total field in a way that would shift things for everybody. And you have some basis for believing that? I mean, can you make that case to someone who might initially be kind of skeptical?
Yeah, that would be a whole nother hour. But people go to the glcoherence.org website. There is hard science showing the resonances in the ionosphere and the fields and the impact they have on human health and perception and all sorts of cycles from terrorism to creativity, and how there are indications, definite science. The Global Consciousness Project, that is a collaborator with us on this, and showing effects on randomnicity and random number generators as people put out collective compassion and love, and how that has a larger effect than negative emotion. There's a lot of hard science, and if you look at the scientific advisory board that's involved with the Global Coherence Initiative, there's some very prestigious mainstream scientists. So there's hard data pointing to this on the website that anyone who's scientifically oriented can read about and probably overcome a lot of the initial understandable skepticism that this really could be true. We need to check this out. We need to test it, the hypothesis. And at the same time, we all intuitively know that love is the most powerful force in the universe, and love is coherence. And as we bring that more into our systems, that why wouldn't that connect with the Earth fields and beyond?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps that is where we're all headed.
Mm-hmm.
So we intuitively have that feeling, and now we're moving the science forward to show where the science research is showing that too.
That's great. That's great.
I'd like to also say that on the Global Coherence website and also on the, all the HeartMath websites, heartmath.com, heartmath.org, the state of ease technique that I led you all through, and Doc Childry's, the founder of HeartMath, article booklet on the state of ease is available for free download. And there's other HeartMath tools too, but that I'd really recommend people checking that out, because it certainly helps me day to day as everything picks up, energies and speed and timing keep picking up, and they will continue to. And we want to be able to flow with that to serve the best we can.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much. I feel like we've just started, and I kind of have to tear myself away, but I want to give the many people who've tuned in here by phone and by web a chance to join the conversation. So if you're listening via the web and you have a question for Howard or Debbie or both of them, you can go ahead now and type out a concise question in the instant teleseminar window starting right now. But before we begin to answer questions, I have a few things I'd like to let everybody know about. First, I'd like to thank the presenters, Integral Spiritual Practice and Evolving Wisdom, and our sponsors. The Integral Incubator from Boulder Integral. If you have an important idea or project in your life that needs a jump start, maybe a new business that you've dreamed of starting, or an important initiative for your job or company, or a creative project like writing a book, a blog, or a screenplay, or if it's just you, if the project is you and you'd like to press reset on your whole career or develop a new vision for yourself, consider attending the Integral Incubator, a 5-day boot camp in Boulder, Colorado, where you'll work with Ken Wilber, Jeff Salzman, and an expert team of Integral coaches to make your dream a reality. You can find out more about the Integral Incubator at integralincubator.com. That's integralincubator.com. And our Sisters in Evolution at Feminine Power, where evolutionary women around the world are waking up to the extraordinary and committed passion of their feminine power. You can find out more about the acclaimed work of Claire Zammit and Catherine Woodward Thomas at femininepower.com and download a free 75-minute audio introduction titled The Keys to Feminine Power, Awakening the Three Power Bases of the New Co-Creative Feminine. You can find that online at femininepower.com. And finally, we're going to have a little bit of a break. Normally, we've had broadcasts every single Sunday, but this Sunday, a week from today, is going to be no broadcast. We're going to have the next one on Tuesday, the following Tuesday, the 26th of October. And it's going to be an hour later. Usually our broadcasts are at 5 p.m., but we're going to be in conversation with Sadhguru Jaggi Vasudev from a small town in Tamil Nadu, not far from Bangalore, India. And he's going to wake up at 6 a.m. to have that conversation with us, and I don't think he wants to wake up at 5 a.m., so we're going to have this one at 6. And our topic is going to be inner engineering, technologies for inner well-being. And he's quite a remarkable guy. Jaggi Vasudev, Sadhguru is how he's named. He's a Western educated, great speaker of English, really deep in the ancient Vedic tradition, but in a very contemporary way. That's why he calls it inner engineering technologies. So, good. Let's get into the question and answer section for this evening with Howard Martin and Debbie Rosman of the Institute of HeartMath. And let's see, where are our questions? Okay. Are there others in the field of mind-body healing and research, asks Rita from Mexico, New York, who have come to the same scientific findings about the heart? Are there other researchers that are confirming the things that you guys are talking about, Howard and Debbie?
Well, I think there's a large body of research. The, you know, the, what's the name of the journal that's out now, Debbie? That's the entire article on coherence.
Yeah. The Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine, the entire July-August journal is peer-reviewed research about coherence. The whole magazine is dedicated to coherence and the findings that are coming out on that, and it's a very exciting magazine. You can go online and order it. That's just one indication. There's a whole field called neurocardiology, which is actually only about 15 years old, and it's coming out with very exciting findings on the intelligence or the nervous system of the heart and its independence and how it actually controls a lot of brain function. And the research on every aspect of what we're doing, there's others who are confirming that involved with the energetic heart and how our heart coherence affects others in the round us. Gary Schwartz at the University of Arizona has done research on that type of communication, and there's just a lot of it on there that people can find if they look on the web.
Yeah. My understanding is that at this point you've kind of brought a thesis around a whole body of research that's more and more broadly accepted in the whole field of neuro and neurocardiology.
That's right. There's right now, Howard, I think, what is it, about 100 different research studies, PhD theses going on at universities throughout the country that were advisors on different IRBs.
I lose track of the number, really. It's a tremendous amount of work. Yeah, so there's other researchers to answer the question for the caller. There's plenty going on out there about heart and heart intelligence and how it relates. A lot of it's physiological stuff. A lot of it's relating it to emotion, things like that. Yeah.
A lot of the positive psychology movement is now looking at heart rate variability and how heart rate variability feedback, you know, which is what our Amwave technology does, can really help with health and wellness and all sorts of mind-body aspects to it. And we're working, HeartMath is working with hospitals and clinics all over the United States and other parts of the world. We're working with the military, too, as far as resilience training. And, of course, they've vetted all the research.
That's great. Well, here's another question. Actually, this isn't so much a question, but I think it's kind of fun to share. Lily Wong from Mallorca, Spain, says that we're working to bring together, connect, and resonate, of course, at a heart level, all the Balearic Islands. It would be very interesting to measure this great event. We're working on other projects on how to live at a heart level. How can I get in touch with you to tell you more about our projects and coordinate with you?
Well, just come through the globalcoherence.org website, you know, the info at globalcoherence.org. But I would like to say to Lily that one of the things that we need to be clear about is that you can't really measure at this point localized events. The ionosphere geomagnetic fields are very big and very complex, and the science behind it and what we're trying to do is taking time to unfold. Now, it will unfold, but at this point, there's not the ability to say, well, there's a local event happening in a certain area. Let's measure the effect in that area. The science doesn't work that way. It's much more complicated than that, but it's something that maybe in the future we can do, but not today.
Great. Here's one really more personal level question that I think is just, you know, perfect for us to get into. Kat from Arizona asks, how do you connect with your heart when your heart is broken and in overwhelming pain?
Dr. Rosman?
Oh, yes. Well, I way have compassion for that. I've been there. Most of us have been there. It's a process of reopening the heart, but that is what we all have to do and how to shorten the time to do that when we've had a broken heart. A broken heart really is something that was a deep belief or expectation that got broken or abused. And the healing of the heart, that's really what the book that Doc Childre and I have written, Transforming Anxiety, Transforming Depression, go deep into. And the best ways that I have found of doing that, and it does take time, are some of the techniques and tools we have for that, doing heart lock-ins, getting more heart energy flowing through your system by finding something in your life, whatever it is, that you still can feel compassion for or appreciation for, and starting to add more of those emotions, actually self-activating those feelings, actually starts to reopen the doors of the heart because it starts to bring more heart coherence into your system. And coherence starts to get new pathways going between the heart and the brain and the amygdala that stores the emotional hurt and begins to open up new perceptions, because that's what we all need when we are down with a broken heart, is we need some new windows of perception to provide us with hope and a pathway out. And so, again, there's a large body of work that we've done in that area, and I would encourage you to take a look at transforming anxiety or transforming depression to really gain those tools.
Mm. Thanks, Debbie. And, yeah, blessings to you in that important heart healing work, Kat. We can go to the phones now, and if you'd like to raise your hand, just press *2. And please make sure that what you're offering is a question rather than a commentary, and try to keep it direct and to the point so you can give others the opportunity to ask their questions too, because there's probably going to be more questions than we have time for. But please go ahead and raise your hands. This is a great chance to get some direct guidance from two individuals who've really done the work of doing this math over years and years, and have really deepened into what it takes to bring heart intelligence into every nook and cranny of life. Therese from Indian Shores has one question here on the Instant Teleseminar window while people are raising their hands, asking you, Howard, if you could give us a concrete example of how you move to the heart and regather.
Okay, let's say real concrete example. I know that a meeting's coming up, and this happens a lot. We have executive team meetings here, and there are hard decisions to be made about a lot of things. We're in business. So I know I need to go in the meeting, and I already know what some of the issues are, and I already have predictable patterns of how others may act or react in those things or what their input may be. And then what's most important is that I step back and I stop and I go, well, what about you? What about me? What is it that I can do now to prepare for this meeting better so that I don't have, my normal reactive patterns, so that I'm open, so that I'm clear, so that I'm connected in my listening, and then in a more, non-judgmental or projectional space. So what I'll do, maybe 5 minutes before that meeting, is I'll simply focus in the area in the center of my chest, the area of the heart, and I'll breathe through that area. It's kind of like we did with the ease technique. In a way that is, pretending as if the breath is flowing in and out through the center of the chest, and that's called heart-focused breathing. And then what I'll do is I'll activate a positive emotion related to heart. And one that works for me a lot is just the feeling of appreciation. Appreciating, people, appreciating the good things in my life, appreciating, the fact that I get to go to a meeting and participate in things like this, and really try to shift, the energetic field that I carry into that meeting. And that's called prepping, which is short for preparing. And then I just hold that field, as best I can when I go into the meeting space. I'm not embracing for something that's going to go wrong or whatever. It's more casual than that. But it's got more of an openness to it, more of an appreciative quality to it. Then I go into the meeting. If the meeting goes well, that's great. If it doesn't, then when the meeting's over, I do the same thing over again, and I regather and go back, using a very similar but simple process, to bring myself back to a place of a more balanced, appreciative state, and then move through the rest of my day.
Thanks so much. That's great.
Terry,
we have a question. I'm sorry. You have something to say, Debbie?
Yeah. I just saw on the Skype here there are three people asking for me to repeat the name of the journal magazine. You want me to do that right now?
Sure.
It's the Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine journal. You just Google that, and you'll be able to find their website and the magazine. It's the July-August issue, 2010.
So they just did a dedicated issue to this whole idea of coherence.
They did, and they couldn't even have room in the magazine for all the articles. So there's a really cool article on group coherence, coherence between people, that's on their website for download as well.
Wonderful. We have a question here from someone in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I don't have your name, but you're on the air. Please introduce yourself and let us know your question.
Oh, hi. I'm Shika.
Hi, Shika.
Hi. I was wondering, you had spoken about, well, first, actually, thank you so much for that. And my question is that you had spoken about working with children, and I teach during summers kids in the ghetto of Philly, and I was wondering how, like, if you could speak maybe a little bit more about how to help maybe a group or an individual child regulate his or her own emotional, regulate or even acknowledge his or her emotional state.
Yes, sure. I'll only be able to say a little bit here. We have heart math techniques that step down right into different ages from pre-K, nursery school, Head Start programs that we work with all the way to college. And they're called the Heart Smarts programs and curricula for teachers. And we have actually a whole quality instructor program that teaches teachers how to teach these tools. And early Heart Smarts programs on the heartmath.org website, you'll see all of that materials and all of the training programs and the products for the classroom that you can use depending on the age of the children you work with, the groups or the individuals. But they're wonderful tools to help children learn the difference between when they're in their emotions, when they're in their mind or head, and when they're connected with their heart. And all three, heart, mind, and emotions, are working together. And the self-regulation techniques are very simple, learning how to shift to the heart where children naturally are a lot of the time, but they fall out of it real quickly. And so learning some basic tools of how to, when you're angry or frustrated or upset, just how to bring that energy back into your heart and make the shift and then shine by adding the love from your heart. And real simple things that really work. And there's research studies, a whole study that was done, a controlled study with preschool children, and it showed, it's on the heartmath.org website, it showed the results of learning these emotional regulation tools on academic performance, on learning, on behavior, on social interactions, and all with very statistically significant outcomes and shifts. So, again, heartmath.org website will give you a lot of that information because we've been doing this, you know, research and product development in this area for years.
If I could be just for one, like, half a minute, a little bit more specific, would it be the same working with, I mean, would there be something, is there something on the site with regard to kids who are raised in a particular environment, like the ghetto?
Yes, there's a lot of work going on, in especially teachers and counselors and psychologists working in ghettos, as well as learning disabilities. Not that those are necessarily connected, but often are. But we're actually doing a whole program in the Green Dot schools in Los Angeles right now, which is deep inner city schools. So there's a lot of information there. And if you need to talk to someone, you can contact the Institute of Heart Math and through the website there, too, and talk to the people who work with teachers who are working in the ghettos.
Awesome.
Thanks, Shika. We have another question here from Doris Saunders in Jackson, Mississippi. Doris, you're on the air.
Hi. Actually,
welcome.
My question gets back to a comment that was made earlier with regards to the intelligence of the heart, and I wonder if our guests could elaborate. I think this has been a very enlightening conversation, and I thank you, and I'll just listen to your response.
About the why the heart is smarter, you mean?
No, specifically the various intelligences of the heart. That was mentioned.
Okay.
But it wasn't, there was no follow-up on it in terms of what those intelligences look like or what they are.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, what they look like is just, you know, sometimes we have, you know, insight into things that have a more, you know, a wholeness approach. I mean, we can tell from starters it's really looking out for the best interest of ourselves but the best interest of others. That would be an example of heart intelligence. Another would be more intuitive insight. You know, things we just kind of get a knowingness inside. It's confirmed more by how things feel rather than how things, you know, necessarily think or look. It's a feeling we have inside about something that feels right to us. It's different than just a gut or reactive feeling. It's something else. It's deeper than that. But it's a feeling that we have inside. That would be another example. Another example of heart intelligence would be, there's times in life when things are hard for us and we are faced with challenges that we just don't know the answers of how we're going to deal with. And when we do reach those places, a lot of times what people do is they go deeper inside. They pull on something more. That's when they meditate or they pray or they take that walk on the beach in the woods or they drive off in the car in the night to look for an answer. And as they dig a little deeper, I think they find that what happens is that the feelings begin to shift a little bit. The despair lightens a little. The inner dialogue that's going on inside can begin to change. You know, thoughts can come up and it would be along the lines of, you know, this is a really tough situation and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it, but I've dealt with tough things before and I know that somehow I'll find a way to deal with this. Well, that's a shift in perception. And to me, that's what that is really, is that's the heart beginning to speak. It's the intelligence of the heart offering, first of all, that, you know, that sense of security that things can be handled, and it's offering, you know, a more open-ended, hopeful perspective on things that then leads to the possibility of solutions. And those are just sort of classic real-time examples of what I would say the heart intelligence is.
Thanks so much, Howard. That was great.
Sure.
We have another question here from someone. Again, I don't see your caller ID name, but you're in Denver, Colorado, and you raised your hand. Please go ahead. You're on the air. Hello? Maybe you're muted, Denver.
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Oh, good. I wanted to ask about HoloSync, if there's a connection or similarity between the sort of hemispheric synchronization things and the effects that are said to happen with them, as well as the heart math and the effects there.
Sure. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks for your question.
Thank you.
Debbie, you want to answer the question?
Yeah, sure. Well, HoloSync is getting the two halves of the brain synced up, and anytime you get more synchronization between any systems in the body, it can help synchronize the whole body. The difference from heart math is that we have found in our research that when you get the autonomic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous systems, two sides of the autonomic in sync, and you add the positive emotion shift to that, which is what the heart math tool steps actually are doing, taking you through, then the heart synchronizes the brain to its coherent rhythm. It's a sine wave-like rhythm in the heart rate variability pattern. And the thalamus, which is responsible for synchronizing brain function, the whole brain, synchronizes to the heart's rate variability, the heart rhythm pattern. And the core cells of the amygdala synchronize to the pacemaker cells of the heart. So we say the heart is the driver, the key driver of synchronization among all the body's systems, which create psychophysiological coherence. It's a quick pathway to start creating that kind of synchronization, and that includes the synchronization between the two sides of the brain. So that is what we all want, is full system synchronization. Not that we're going to stay there all the time, but be able to get back to it when we're out and be able to have that empowerment to be able to reconnect and reboot, reset our system to back into the synchronization, the flow state. And as we practice that more and more, we increase what's called our coherence baseline, which means we have more of that natural coherent rhythm that synchronizes the brain and body in going naturally, whether we're using a tool or not. We begin to live more in that state, and that's what we mean by heart-based living.
Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. We have another question here from Ursula in Lafayette, California, on the webcast, who asks, how can you intensify the heart energies through focusing on positive thought? How does positive thought relate to increasing positive heart energy?
What we're really talking about is actually positive feeling. You know, we're talking about making an emotional shift. That's not just a mental conceptual shift. It doesn't have to be anything gushy or over the top. It can be just a feeling of well-being or a feeling of, you know, something that, a memory of when you felt good inside. But what we're really saying is it's the feeling that kindles the intelligence of the heart. It's not a mental process. It's an emotional process. So the techniques that we teach, as you know, there are ways in which we focus on the heart and we try to activate a positive emotion. It doesn't have to, again, be overforced or anything like that. It can be casual. But it's really just trying to find a good feeling inside. And that's one of the key differences, I think, in some of our approaches than maybe some others, that we don't ever see ourselves as competitive, but just the ways that we approach things. And it's making that internal feeling shift that creates all the difference in the world. So that's my first answer to the question. The second answer is there are techniques, and you can learn those techniques from a variety of sources at HeartMath. There's free things on the website. There are books like Debbie's books that she wrote with Doc, the HeartMath Solution that I wrote with Doc. Childrey, our founder, has a lot of techniques in it, and you can practice those techniques, and that's what really begins to cultivate and unlock and further develop this wonderful, innate, beautiful intelligence that we already have inside that really just needs a little dusting off.
That's fantastic. I'm going to beg of you that we go just a few minutes longer so I can ask one more question here from the webcast that intrigues me. Carolyn from Vancouver, B.C., says you've talked a lot about love in the heart field, and I'm wondering if you can speak about grief in the heart field.
Sure. The heart has many qualities to it, as we know, and when we talk about love, care, compassion, forgiveness, the qualities of spirit, the core values or deeper values of the heart, those are the feelings that create heart coherence within the system and synchronization. When we feel that our heart has been broken or hurt, or we go through grief where something has been lost, we feel that in the heart area too, but it's also coming in through the solar plexus area. It's kind of a combination of heart and solar plexus. And sometimes we've called those, like in the Heart Math Solution and other books, the lower heart feelings, not worse or better, but this heart is still involved, but it's being pulled into broken expectations, broken attachments. And so the healing of broken attachments is to be able to connect with the deeper core values of our heart, to bring back and connect again, open the heart again to love, care, compassion, appreciation, forgiveness, and really practicing those feelings, those qualities of the heart. They're real energies. All emotions are types of energies. And as we bring in more of those coherent energies, it starts to lift the sensations of grief. It starts to give us new insights and perspectives. I'll tell you an example of this. Someone was here not long ago who had just lost a loved one and was introduced to the M-Wave heart rhythm feedback technology and kept practicing it to get in the green just to find some inner peace, just to try to quell some of the grief. And what opened in his heart was a real heart connection with the loved one that passed away, and a feeling of that person being all right, and it released the grief. And he was able to move through his life with a deeper knowingness of a heart connection. That's just one example. but it's all about the heart, and it's all about healing the broken heart again, or the grief, and it does take time. And, you know, we have our human nature is attached to what it loves and what's given it care and nurturance or security. And so, but practicing the tools are what heals it and what opens us back into our deeper heart connections and gives us the insights we need to release and move beyond grief and broken attachment.
Mm. Beautiful. I'm glad we got to that. Well, we are out of time, and I've even imposed on you guys by keeping you a little late. But I think it was well worth it. So thanks so much, Howard, and thank you, Debbie. This has been really great. I hope you'll hang on the line long enough to hear people's voices. We're going to open up the lines here after I tell everybody what's coming up next week and remind people about a couple more of our sponsors.
Sure. Terry, I just got another email on the Skype saying maybe you could repeat the name of the journal because my voice is coming in distorted to some people and they would really like to.
Okay. I'm coming in clearer from Frankfurt than you are from Boulder Creek. It's Alternative Therapies, I think. Is that correct?
Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine. Mm-hmm.
Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine. I think if you Google Alternative Therapies, you'll find their website and you'll be able to pick up this issue on coherence, July, August. If you're interested in diving deeper into our conversation, be sure and visit our blog at beyondawakeningseries.com/blog or join our Facebook group where you can discuss these topics too, and that's at beyondawakeningseries.com/Facebook. And if you'd like to share this program with anyone else, just forward one of the emails you received from us and they can join and download the past dialogues. You're invited to post your comments about today's dialogue in either of those places, and also your suggestions and questions for my dialogue Tuesday the 26th with Sadhguru Jaggi Vasudev. And if you want to know more about my work, please visit integralspiritualpractice.com. And I'd like to thank the Institute of Noetic Sciences. The Institute of Noetic Sciences invites you to join free so that you can explore the science of inner knowing. When you become a member of IONS, you'll get to connect with like-spirited individuals and explore their three programs for positive change: consciousness and healing, worldview transformation, and extended human capacities. IONS is the host of a global community where people connect, learn, and transform through live and online programs, and membership is free. So you can sign up today at their brand new website, noetic.org. That's N-O-E-T-I-C, noetic.org. And the Voice for Love. If you've ever wanted to learn how to hear the voice of God within you as a distinct and conversational voice to receive comfort, understanding, healing, and divine guidance in every area of life, visit thevoiceforlove.com. David Paul and Candace Doyle, founders of the Voice for Love, have taught tens of thousands of people over the past 15 years how to hear God's voice within them. Whether you call this divine voice the higher self or the Holy Spirit or Source or God or the true self, David Paul and Candace will share with you their 5-step process for experiencing the divine within you as a distinct and conversational voice. That's thevoiceforlove.com. Visit there today to learn more. And remember to please tune in on Tuesday, October 26th. That's, I think, 10 days or 9 days from today. And this will be at a later time at 6 p.m. Pacific time when I'll be talking with Sadhguru Jaggi Vasudev about inner engineering, technologies for inner well-being. So I hope all of you kind of noticed the tremendous agreement that there was between the wisdom of the latest research on the heart and the wisdom that we got from Dr. Rick Hansen on the wisdom of the brain in our dialogue with him just a couple of weeks ago. So I hope that this will resonate and that you'll make good use of it in this little break, this 9-day pause. We've had interviews almost twice a week, and now we're going to have 9 days between two. But, you know, please continue to visit us on the blog, and I'll probably be posting a blog entry just to keep this conversation fresh and alive. So thank you. Thanks for joining me, and thank you so much, Howard and Debbie. This has been really fun. Let's open up the phone lines so that we can all hear each other's voices and say goodbye. So goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us.
Very good.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.